My dearly beloved in Christ, you know that the season of Lent is very important insofar as our spiritual growth, spiritual advancement. We could say it is the most important season of the year, in which Holy Mother Church admonishes us to practice penance, self-denial, to reflect upon the passion of our Lord and imitate the wonderful virtues that Christ exhibited during his passion. Certainly, we can and should perform self-denial throughout the year, but Lent is in particular a season of penance. When we are doing penance together with Catholics throughout the world, it is like the entire mystical body of Christ praying to God, begging for his mercy, making atonement for sin, and doing penance in order to draw down God's blessings. It is very important for us to know in advance what we intend to do during Lent, insofar as what we intend to do over and above what the laws of the church require us. So I encourage you today and the next couple of days to sit down, think about it, and write out what your penances will be, so that you don't come on Ash Wednesday to say to yourself, okay, now what am I going to do this year for Lent? It should be prepared. It should be well thought out, so that we can all start well right from the first day of Lent. And insofar as what we choose to do by way of penance, we want to be careful to avoid two extremes. The one would be the extreme of those who are afraid to do any real penance. They do a few little things that aren't very penitential, but they're afraid of doing anything that really is hard, that costs human nature. But that is going to be the most sanctifying. When we do something, we give up something that we really enjoy, we do something that's hard. So we want to avoid the extreme of doing very little, but we also want to avoid the opposite, trying to do so much that we find it is humanly impossible and then we give up. Some individuals become all fervent at the beginning of Lent. Oh, I'm going to give up this, I'm going to give up that, I'm going to say this prayer and that prayer, etc. And they really don't think it through. It's not feasible. And so after a few days, they find it's just too hard, too difficult, and then they quit and give up these practices. So make a reasonable judgment of what you can do that would be penitential, but yet be practical, something that you're capable of doing. And then resolve to do that throughout this wonderful season of Lent. If we reflect upon what the church has required down through the ages, we are humbled by how little Holy Mother Church requires of us today. In fact, at one time, meat was given up completely during Lent. There wasn't this meat at the main meal. There was no meat at all during Lent. And that is why you know that the couple days before Lent have different names. In French, Mardi Gras, the day before Lent, or Carnival, which was celebration by Christian peoples before Lent began, which sadly often led to excesses that had to be condemned by the church. But the idea, the word carnival, comes from the two Latin words carne vale, which meant farewell to meat, because that's what Lent was, no meat at all. In fact, they also gave up meat products, milk and cheese, and even eggs. And so Lent in former times was very severe, much more strict than is required of us today by Holy Mother Church. And if we look at the law of fast, the current law of fast, binding on those who are between the ages of 21 and 59, unless they are excused due to a health condition, there are two small meals permitted, which must be meatless. But then at the main meal, meat is permitted, unless it's already a day of total abstinence. the small meals, if they were going to be combined, and we just make a reasonable judgment, if you were to combine them, they could not equal or exceed what would be taken at a normal main meal. At one time, there was only one meal permitted during Lent, going back in the early Middle Ages, one meal a day. And eventually, the church allowed a small evening collation, as it was called, because the main meal was taken soon after noon. And then eventually, a breakfast was allowed. But those were very small amounts. And as time went on, due to perhaps the decreasing constitution of men, Holy Mother Church allowed a little more and a little more, to the point that what we have to do today, those who are bound by the laws of the church, is not anything terribly difficult or impossible to do. Then you have the abstinence. So fast pertains to the amount of food taken. No eating in between meals. And again, the two small meals being meatless for those bound to the fast. But abstinence is a different law completely. And that pertains to what we eat, giving up meat and soups made from meat or gravy made from meat. And that, of course, is required of all Catholics 7 years on up. There's no upper limit. So you can be 60, 70, 80. You're still bound by the abstinence, which means on a day of total abstinence, of course, no meat. And a day of partial abstinence, meat is permitted once, normally at the main meal. So be aware of the laws of the church. That is our first penance. And then, in addition, we take upon ourselves some sacrifices, especially giving up things we like. And it would seem, if you look at the practice of Catholics down through the centuries, and you look at the laws of the church, mortifying the palate seems to be the number one thing. As a matter of fact, St. John Marie Vianney said, there is nothing the devil fears more than when we deny ourselves food and sleep. The things that our body needs, the basic human needs, food and sleep. And when we cut back, you make a night holy hour in your home, deny yourself some sleep, or you get up promptly when your alarm clock goes off instead of lying in bed. Those are great sacrifices. Mortifying the palate, not only insofar as the Lenten fast is concerned, but giving up things you like. Giving up types of food like sweets or whatever it may be that you enjoy. And doing that for the love of our Divine Lord. So again, don't just do the bare minimum. Take upon yourself some additional sacrifices. And what may be a sacrifice for you may not be much for another person. Or what may be a great sacrifice for someone else, perhaps for you, is no difficult thing. So you should choose things that are hard, that are penitential for you, in order to make a good Lent. And why do we do it? Well, first and foremost, we want to atone for our sins. We don't want to have to spend years in purgatory, atoning for sins that have been forgiven, but not fully expiated in this life. Penance is very beneficial for making up for the temporal punishment due to sin. Also by penance, we draw down God's blessings. When we do penance, God cannot resist. When we join penance with our prayer becomes more powerful. We also do penance to appease God's just wrath excited by the sins of the world, to atone for the sins of others, to earn the graces for their conversion, to obtain graces for our loved ones, to help ourselves develop a strength of will. Penance strengthens our willpower, because that is our problem, is a weakness of will. And by penance, we become stronger against temptation. We appreciate spiritual things more. Prayer and meditation, as the preface for Lent says, our minds are elevated. So there are many benefits of penance, but it must be mentioned that we must do penance for the right reasons. Someone could do penance just so that other people think, oh, look how holy he is or she is. And our Lord admonished us in this regard in the gospel that is read on Ash Wednesday. Don't be like the Pharisees. They would do their penances publicly. They would even disfigure their face and look very wan and weak so that people would say, oh, they're so holy. Look at how much they fast and so forth. And our Lord said, they have already received their reward. No, we want our reward to be in heaven. And we don't broadcast what we are doing, but we do it for the love of our Lord. In today's epistle, St. Paul talks about charity. And even says, if I even give my body up to be burned, if I do all of these sacrifices, all of these penances, all of these prayers, if I do all of this and I don't have charity, it profits me nothing. So why do we do penance? Above all, for the love of Almighty God. True charity, love of God. We look at the crucifix. We look at an image of our Lord. And we think to ourselves, he suffered for me. So I want to prove my love for him in return. Make certain that above all, that is your first, your foundational motivation for the love of Almighty God. And yes, also the love of neighbor. So that during Lent, we not only practice penitential works, but also works of charity. The corporal and spiritual works of mercy, alms deeds, is considered one of the great works of penance, where we practice the works of mercy towards others. We are considerate of those who are less blessed than we insofar as material things. And so this is applying what St. Paul says about charity towards my neighbor. Love of God, love of neighbor. Make certain that that is there also during Lent. And if we do this and we prepare and we think about what we're going to do, we start off well, we will be very happy when Lent is over. We will know that we have advanced spiritually if we can say to ourselves, I made a good Lent. But how sad for those Catholics who come to Easter and they have to look back over the past season of Lent and they have to admit to themselves, I didn't make a very good Lent. I could have done much better than I did. I was not conscientious in following the laws of the church. I didn't take upon myself anything that was really hard, sacrificial, and they will regret it. Let us not be in that situation. Let us make a good Lent, start off well from the beginning, and especially remember every day the passion and death of our Lord, all that he suffered for us. And let us fast and abstain, not just from food, but above all, from sin. Not to offend our Lord, because it was our sins that caused his terrible passion and death. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.